I don't enjoy that. I didn't enjoy that at all. But I was very thankful that we have technology that let us connect. And the song that the praise and worship team sang where they were talking about, I just want to thank you, God. And I feel in the society today right now, gratitude and thankfulness is one of the things I think we're losing. And I'm not talking about the type of thankfulness and gratitude like, okay, somebody holds a door open, you say thank you, or you know, please pass something, and you say thank you for doing that. But I'm talking like this genuine, heartfelt gratitude that we're actually really thankful for something. When's the last time, like, with the genuine, that you genuinely thank someone, that you just meant it from your heart? And so that's what I want to talk about today. My message today is give thanks. And I know it's not Thanksgiving, and it might seem like an odd topic right now, but I believe our society and the world right now needs it more than anything, is thankful people, people that have gratitude. And so I want to do this here before. I'm going to take a picture of you guys because I want to remember this. First service back, so I don't know if you mind doing, if I just everybody smile. Thank you. This is so much better when I'm out here preaching to people that are looking back at me and smiling, and even if you fall asleep, I really don't care, you know, I mean, that's up to you, but it's just good to have you out there. So, the world right now, it seems like, is a very thankless place, and Paul, and there's people in the Bible, like, if you think about it when you're reading through the Bible, there's people in the Bible that jump out to you as just kind of these really thankful people. Paul talks about it in 1 Thessalonians 5:18. It says, he tells us in all circumstances to give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus with you. And that's when it's talking about all circumstances. He's talking about every time. It doesn't matter what situation you're in the middle of a coronavirus pandemic, at a funeral, at a wedding, when I'm losing my job, when I'm getting a promotion, when I have to witness to someone, when I'm faced with temptation, when someone's making fun of me, when I'm feeling depressed, when the most darkest time is hitting me, or even when things are going absolutely the best, when things are going so well for me. Paul said, in whatever circumstance I'm in, whatever situation that I'm in, give thanks, because this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. And I think it's interesting because there's people that look around and they say, well, what is God's will for my life? Like, what is God's will? God's will is giving thanks to him. The verse right before this, Paul says, pray without ceasing. We know and we understand the value of prayer, and we hear sermons on prayer, and we know that praying is a good idea. But I think we sometimes miss this little part in here where it talks about giving thanks. We need to give thanks because this is the will of God. So how do we understand, or what do we do to value the importance of gratitude? Hopefully after the message today, you can look at it a little bit differently, and you can understand how God views it. So what is the definition of thanks? If you go straight up, the dictionary definition is to express gratitude or show appreciation to or acknowledge or recognize something. So thanks is when, you know, you recognize that someone did something for you. You show appreciation, you show gratitude. And the Bible ties a great deal of meaning with this concept of thanksgiving. In fact, in the Old Testament, there's about 102 different references to thanksgiving. And in the New Testament, there's about 72. And there's two key words that are used. The first one, I actually don't know how to say it. It's a Hebrew word. It's YDH. And I think it's actually the root word of a bigger word called yada. And the other one is where we get the word Eucharist, and it's Eucharistia. It's the Greek word. And literally that just means to give thanks for something. And so when Jesus ate the Last Supper there, when he was holding communion with his disciples, we call it he performed the Eucharist, or he had the Eucharist, which was giving thanks to the Father for what he had done. And I love this Hebrew definition because it literally means to shout grateful praise, to be so thankful that you actually can't hold it in, that you just like yell it out. It's genuine praise that comes from your heart, and you can't contain it. It just comes out. So I want you to think about, you can shout this out, when I say who in the Bible is kind of known for giving praise or for being thankful, who would you say? Who do you come up with? David. That's the guy that you, it seems like we just think about him. You read through the Psalms, and David is just like, all of his Psalms just have this, he's just thanking God so much for everything that he's doing for him. And I think where David came from, he was a man with faults and shortcomings, and he had all kinds of issues in his life. But David had no problem thanking God, and I think what he did is he understood how God viewed gratitude. And David knew where he came from. He grew up as a shepherd boy, and he was continually in this state of, you know, God needs to protect me. He fought giants, he killed lions, bears, he was anointed king. He ran away from an angry king. He was pursued by King Saul when he was, King Saul was in this fit of rage trying to kill him. And even then he knew that God was with him in the worst times and the best times. And if you look at through the Psalms, like David wrote these Psalms in a lot of times when things were not going good. And he would start out, he kind of had this method of how he did the Psalms. In fact, Psalms 23 is one of the greatest, you know, it's the most memorized, I think, Psalm in the Bible. And it talks about, even though you walk through the valley of death, which is a very scary, dark place, you are with me, you comfort me, you prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Now, I want you to get this little visual here. Like, I've read that psalm and I've memorized that psalm, but what does it mean, preparing a table before me? Like, is it something like, what's David trying to say there? And David is really, he's saying, you know what, it is so peaceful and calm where I am right now. It's like, you know what, there's this table of food that you prepare that right in the presence of mine enemies. I don't have to fear anything. Even though someone is out to kill me, I can have this calm assurance that you are there with me. And so David was a man after God's own heart, and he did radical things. And David understood this principle to know who God is and what God wants. And I want to share that with you this morning. So my text this morning is found in Psalms. It's Psalm 69, so if you have your Bibles, I want you to turn to that. And we're going to, this psalm here is kind of a very typical psalm of how David would write it. First, he lays out kind of his complaints and his troubles to God. He's like, God, you know, why is this stuff happening to me? This, you know, he kind of lays it out. Then the second part, he says, the reason why this is happening before me is because I love you so much, my zeal for God, and, you know, God, deliver me from this. Then he asks maybe for like a little bit of punishment on his enemies. He said, you know what, there's these people over here that are trying to hurt me. God, if you could rain a little bit of fire and brimstone down on them, that'd be great. And then he closes the prayer with this joyful anticipation that there's going to be this divine intervention, that God is going to come through for him, and he closes in this prayer. So we're going to actually jump in. We're going to focus on two verses, well, maybe three, but there's two primary verses. And Psalm 69, starting at verse 30, and we're going to read these verses here. We're going to go read 30 and 32, and it says, I will praise the name of God with a song. I will magnify him with thanksgiving. This will please the Lord more than an ox or a bull with horns and hooves. So before we get into this here and dig in, let's have a word of prayer. Dear God, we just want to come before you right now, and as we look into your word, as we read the Bible, would your Holy Spirit come down and anoint me, dear God? Just give me words to speak. Help my words come across with clarity. Help the audience to have an open heart, open minds, dear God, and open eyes. We thank you. We praise you. We're so glad that you love and care for us. We're so glad that you gave us your Son. In Jesus' name, amen. So what I love about David is no matter what is going on in his life, he's always pointing back to the goodness of God. He's always praising him with songs and words. And I love the song that we sang there. It's one of my favorite songs, I Just Want to Thank You, Lord. Like when you're singing that song, you're just kind of, it's going over and you're singing, I just want to thank you, Lord. And one thing that I think I miss the most about church here, I don't really sing a lot by myself. I don't know if maybe you guys do a lot. Maybe you're, you know, but this, when you get together, you kind of have this corporate singing. Everybody's singing together, and it's just really good. And David, I picture him as a guy that really didn't care. You know, maybe he was riding his chariot. You know, like, okay, this is what I'm thinking. A lot of us will be driving our car, and when this really good jam comes on, we're going to just start singing. You know, if there's nobody else in the car, we're probably going to let it out. We're probably going to, you know, we've all had that happen, you know, when that special, you know, Shania Twain song comes on, and you just feel like, okay, I'm gonna let it rip right now. So I see you laughing out there, so you know what I'm talking about. But I'm thinking David was one of those guys that also did not care. You know, like he was like, you know what? When God filled his heart with thanksgiving and gratitude, he couldn't hold it in. He just started singing. In fact, there was a point in the Bible that his wife got kind of choked at him because there's, I wrote the reference down, I can't remember. I think it was in 2 Samuel. Yeah, 2 Samuel 6:14, it says, "And David danced before the Lord with all his might." And I know Jake's been trying to get us to dance here just a little bit, and I don't think it was this, yes, Jake. And I don't think, you know, when David was dancing with all his might, it was like this slow, like, shuffle, you know, he's like, you know, and I think David was like, you know, it's just, I mean, he's just, it said with all his might, David loved God. David loved to show his gratitude towards God. And I think that's what's so awesome. So it says here in verse 30, "I will praise the name of the God with a song. I will magnify him with thanksgiving." Sounds very much like Paul talking about in all circumstances, "I'm going to give thanks." I don't know about you, but it's easy to give thanks when things are going good. But what is David's secret about giving thanks when things are not going good? What about if you're in the middle of a coronavirus pandemic? What if you're, you know, your wages have been cut back because, you know, you don't have customers? Maybe bills are piling up. What did David know? Did he know something that we don't know? David was obsessed with making God famous, and he wanted to make his name known, and he did it through song and thanksgiving. So let's look at these verses. "I will praise the name of God with a song." This is exactly what we were doing here at Praise and Worship. And we sang, you know, "Thank you, Lord, I want to thank you, Lord." And we're doing that together. And I was thinking about this. I was up, I think it was maybe a year or two, maybe 2 years ago. We took our family up to a Newsboys concert. And when you're up at a concert, there's just something about it. You know, you have a group of people together, and when you can sing along to every song, and when you're praising God, there's just a feeling that you get inside of you, your emotions. It's hard to describe, and it's hard to put I don't even know really how to say it. But I think this is what happens when you actually sing a song of praise to God. He created these emotions inside of you. He created this feeling in you that's what he wants. That's what he loves. David understood the concept of praise. Praise the name of God with a song. The second part, he says, "I will magnify him with thanksgiving." And what does that mean when we magnify God? What does the term even magnify mean? Now, magnify here there's two different meanings to it. So the first meaning is to make something that is small look bigger. So for an example, let's say you have a microscope, okay, and you look at a small organism under a microscope. You're making something that is very small look bigger. Or if you're, you know, a magnifying glass, you're trying to make something small look bigger. That's a way to magnify it. In fact, you know, maybe some of you hunters, you know, with a spotting scope, when you see that deer way out there, he looks a lot bigger than he really is, you know, once you actually get him up close. Those are all ways that things are magnified. The other way is, the other definition of magnify is to take something that is big and make it even bigger. That's a way to magnify something. An example of that would be a telescope. So there are stars that are billions of light years out there that they're so huge and so awesome that they would fit a number of Earths within them. But we look out there and we see this little star and it looks twinkling up in the sky and it looks very small. But a telescope helps us to bring that into our view and make something that is really big even bigger than it is. And I think that's what David was talking about when he said, magnify him with thanksgiving. David's taking a God that's already really big and making him even bigger. So we become like this human telescope, walking around, making God big like he really is. So how do we do that? By giving thanks. "I will magnify him with thanksgiving." David and Paul were in sync when it came to offering praise and thanksgiving to God, because they both had it. Paul puts it this way in 1 Corinthians 10:31. He says, "Whether you're eating or you're drinking or whatever you're doing, do all to the glory of God." He wanted, Paul's life ambition, Paul's number one thing in his life was to make God famous. And that's what makes God happy. Have you ever wondered what delights and makes God happy? It's giving him glory. It's kind of simple. I want you to turn to Philippians 1:20. I have this bookmarked here as well. Philippians 1, verse 20. And it says, "As it is my eager expectation and hope that I will not be at all ashamed, but that with full courage, now as always, Christ will be honored in my body, whether by life or by death." And actually, the King James Version used the word, instead of honor, it used the word magnified. So we could read it like this: "That I will not be at all ashamed, that with full courage, now as always, Christ will be magnified in my body, whether by life or by death." Paul's motto is this. He said, "Whether I'm living or whether I'm dying, Christ gets the glory." It's whether he's eating, drinking, whatever he's doing, Christ is getting the glory. And this is what a true Christian looks like. Christ is being magnified in our bodies. That's what Paul's saying right here. Making God even bigger to the world around us. And David never looked at God as a small God to make him bigger. He looked at him as a big God and made him even more bigger than that. And so sometimes I think as Christians, we kind of have this, you know, we're not called to be like this con man that has to sell something that, you know, we really don't believe in. I've been a salesman for a long time, about as long as I can remember. And I've been fortunate enough as my years of salesman, I've never had to sell something I really didn't believe in. I think that'd be one of the hardest things if you have something where you're like, you know what, I'm not really sure. I'm going to have to exaggerate it. I don't know if you've bought anything off the internet where the size looked a little bit different than when you actually got it home. There's a great picture of a lady who bought a bath mat, and she never read the sizing. And literally this bath mat was about the size of a small hand cloth. You know, and it was supposed to be the kind that you put down on your sink or in your bathroom. And so, like, size can be deceptive. Even pictures, you know, people are always trying to make us believe something is bigger and better than it really is. You go to McDonald's and that picture looks amazing of a, you know, Big Mac, and then you get it and you're like, this is not a Big Mac, this is a tiny Mac, and it looks horrible. And it probably doesn't even taste as good as you think it would either. But that's what a lot of religions try to do as well. They try to gloss and glorify things, and they try to make things bigger and better than what they really are. And as a Christian, we have this full confidence that when we're magnifying God, we're actually magnifying something that is bigger than what we can imagine, that is better than what we can imagine, and we have full confidence of that. We actually can't magnify God enough. And as telescopes for God, we're showing a world that is desperate for truth and stability, that there is a God that wants to love them and a God that wants to make them feel secure, and a God that wants to be with them forever. So the problem that we run into is we struggle to magnify what we haven't seen, and sometimes we struggle to magnify things that we easily forget. And if you look at through the Bible, like look through the Old Testament, it's story after story of God just reminding his people. He's like, look at you guys, it's I'm trying to pound it into your head, like you got to remember who I am, remember to give me glory, remember to give me thanks, and he says this over and over again. And I think in the 20th century, it hasn't changed any. God is continually trying to pound it in our heads, don't forget to give me the glory. That's why we sing songs, listen to sermons, read the Bible, and pray like, God, don't forget. You know, we can't forget to keep doing this. We need to be reminded every day of the goodness and greatness of God. Every single day, we have to be reminded of that. That's why we sing songs like, open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open them up so that we can actually see things. Or, soul, forget not all his benefits. We have to remember what all God does for us. And every day we need to be reminded. So how does thanksgiving magnify God? Why does David use the word thanksgiving to magnify God? So let's say we do actually start to, you know, even start to remember the greatness, the power, the wisdom, the mercy of God. Let's say we start to remember that. What is the best response for us as a Christian? How do we respond to something like that? We're remembering that God is great. We're remembering that he is all-powerful. We're remembering that he has wisdom. How do we as a Christian respond to that? Well, let's look at this verse in Psalms. I will magnify him with thanksgiving. When we give thanks to God from our hearts, God is magnified. And I want you, this is probably the biggest point of this message here, is gratitude glorifies God. Gratitude glorifies God. And why does giving thanks glorify God? And it comes down to this. And this is a concept that actually Jesus reiterated in the New Testament. Givers are more glorious than receivers. The person that's giving is more glorious than the person that's getting. The benefactor is more honored than the beneficiary. If you're the person that's giving something out, you are actually getting more honor and more glory than the person receiving it. And we can thank God because we acknowledge him as the great giver that he is. We pay him the highest glory and the highest honor when we acknowledge that God gives us everything. Think about this. How hard is it to thank someone that you're angry with? If somebody has really, you know, cranked your chain, made you super angry. Is it easy to come up to them and say, hey, thank you, you know, and genuinely mean it? It's really hard. You know, if kids, you know, if you're fighting at home and you know, I tell you, you know, hey, go tell your sibling, you know, thank you for something. Nobody's going to do that. You're going to maybe mumble it or grumble at it, but it's not going to happen. It doesn't come easy. Thank yous don't come easy. And the reason is that when you say thank you, you're actually magnifying or complimenting the other person. Because you're saying, you know what, I'm indebted to that person. You did something for me that I can't repay you back, or I can, but I'm going to have to do it down the road. So you're complimenting it. Our natural response should be to give thanks to God, to make him famous, to magnify him. But unfortunately, our tendencies tend to not give God thanks. That's just naturally what we don't want to do. And there's a reason for this. And the reason why it's hard for us to give God thanks is because it detracts from our own glory. When we give thanks to God for something, and actually we're taking the glory from him, and we're putting it on ourselves when we don't. Let's turn to Romans 1, and I was reminded of these verses because when we did our study in Romans, and I think it lays it out very clearly. Romans 1, starting at verse 18, and it says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. For what can be known about God is plain to them, because God has shown it to them. For his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world, in the things that have been made, so they are without excuse. For although they knew God," and this is the part that I want to get to, "for although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him, but they became futile in their thinking and their foolish hearts were darkened." Powerful verses there. They suppress the truth. What do you think is happening now more than anything? I mean, come on, people. Suppression of truth is one of the main things that's happening in our society today. They know who God is. They understand that there's a God out there. They don't honor him or give him thanks. That's what God's telling us to do. He said, just honor me and give me thanks. It's pretty simple. And they're futile in their thinking and their hearts are darkened because of it. So it's a very simple solution that we as Christians have for the world today. It has a very depressing picture for the state of man, but it's a very clear indication of what's going on. People hate to give glory to another person, and the root of our ingratitude is actually caught up in the fact that we really love ourselves too much. That's really, I mean, when it comes down to the core, we just actually love ourselves more than we give ourselves credit for. We think we really are better than we are. We're better looking, we're smarter, we're more athletic, we have more influence, maybe we think we have more money, and the list can go on and on. But that's really what comes down to the root of ingratitude, is we actually think we're better than we really are. And to have genuine gratitude, it has to come from our heart and not just our lips. We can't just be saying this. We can't just be like spitting out verbiage. It actually has to come from our heart. So in order to have genuine gratitude, we actually have to see ourselves like this. We have to see ourselves as blind, broken, unworthy, sin-sick wretches, really what we are. And natural man hates to think of himself like that. It just goes against our nature. We don't want to think of ourselves like that. There's a really interesting connection between Psalm 69 and Psalms 50 that I want to touch on. So if we look back here, the last couple verses here, it says, "This will please the Lord more than an ox or a bull with horns and hooves." I was like, well, why does he say that? Why does gratitude actually, or thanksgiving actually please God more than a sacrifice? Because I think a sacrifice is I'm actually doing something. I'm actually getting out there and I'm giving something. And I was like, well, why does he say horns and hooves? And back in ancient times, once a bull had horns and hooves, it's at its prime. It was kind of USDA certified. That was at the top of its game. And so that's when it was time to sacrifice that, because it was at the peak. It was the best. And here it says, God, you know, I don't really, I mean, I enjoy it, but it's not really what I want. So let's turn to Psalms 50. I want to touch on that a little bit. Psalms 50 is just a couple pages back. Psalms 50, starting at verse 9. It says, I will not accept a bull from your house or goats from your folds. For every beast of the forest is mine, the cattle on a thousand hills. I know all the birds of the hills, and all that moves in the field is mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell you, for the world and its fullness are mine. Do I eat the flesh of bulls or drink the blood of goats? And here's the verse again. Offer to God a sacrifice of thanksgiving and perform your vows to the Most High. Basically, God is saying here, look it. I know you guys have a lot of things. I know you have this really beautiful sacrifice that you want to give to me. But what it boils down to is, I already own that. I already have that. That bull that you're giving to me, you know, that's mine. I actually own thousands of them. I have them over here. I have them over there. Anything that's out in the pasture, the field, it's already mine. I have it. But what I don't want, or what I do want, I want you to tell me. I want you to tell me just thank you for that. I want this special feeling of thanks from you, from your heart. I don't care that you're flaunting all this stuff. I don't care that you're giving me this and that and that you're sacrificing all that. It's not really what I want. Because remember, what happens is the giver becomes more glorious than the receiver. And what happens, even in the act of worship, even in the act of religion, we can start to take pride in the fact that we're giving things back to God. Remember what I talked about, you know, who actually gets the glory? The person that's doing the giving. And so what we start to think is, you know what, we're giving this stuff back to God, and God's like, you know what, you're taking the thing that I really want, which is your heart, and that's what I really want. I don't want you to just give me stuff. If you give me words of heartfelt thanks, I want that sacrifice. If you do that, you'll glorify me. So lay down your pride and the feeling that you are a someone. So where does that leave us today? Where do you find yourself in all this? Have you been relying on your own self-sufficiency, thinking that you're kind of helping God out? When was the last time you truly, out of a heart of gratitude, thanked God for what he's done for you? And that was really hard for me. I thought about this. It's been a long time. I haven't thanked God the way I should have. Psalms 51:17 says this, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. And this is the kind of heart that can offer genuine thanksgiving. A heart that's proud, a heart that is rebellious, a heart that's sinful. It's not going to offer genuine thanksgiving. It's a heart that is broken, and a broken and a contrite heart. And that's where God gets the glory. So this message could be hard for people that are self-sufficient, prideful, and self-glorifying. And I don't want to apologize for that, because that's what it's meant to do. But on the flip side, this is good news for people that are fallen, for people that are broken, for people at the end of their rope that don't have any place else to go. Because that's who God wants. He wants you at that point. He wants you at the point where you can say, you know what? I'm going to lay it down. I'm going to lay my pride, my arrogance, whatever I have, I'm laying it down. And it's, God, I just want to thank you. I want to thank you so much for what you've done for me. So what are God's demands? A God who controls the universe and who owns and made everything. What does he demand from you? His demand is great. And really, it's to admit that we're not. God's greatest demand from us is to admit that we're not great. This is bad news for the arrogant, but it's words of life for the oppressed. God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. So I want to wrap this up. Let's recap. We're called to magnify God. Psalm 69, I will praise the name of God with a song. So we're called to praise him. We're called to magnify him, to make him famous with thanksgiving. And we can do this by offering genuine, heartfelt praise from a contrite heart. And we can only do this if we acknowledge that God is the giver of all things, and we're nothing without him. So this week, I want you to go out and make God famous. There's a world out there that's in desperate need for loving, caring, and a powerful God. They're in desperate need of that. And we as Christians need to magnify him. We got to show him off to the people around us. That's what you have to do. That's what we have to do. So I want you to sing loud, dance hard, give thanks to God, and go out and be blessed. Let's stand for prayer. Dear God, we just want to come before you right now and thank you so much for who you are and for your presence and for the powerful God that you are. Dear God, we want to confess to you right now that we have probably not done a very good job of showing our gratitude and thanks to you. And we just want to confess that sin that we think of ourselves more than we should. We think we are bigger and better, and we just lift ourselves up too much. Dear God, take away that pride. Help us come humbly to you. And dear God, want to pour ourselves out to you. Just give you all the thanks and the honor and glory, because you deserve it, and you're such a bigger God than we can actually comprehend. And help the world around us to see that we are Christians that truly do love and honor and serve you in our actions, but also in the words that we speak to you. Just bless us now as we go from this place. Dear God, bless this church. Give people power to live out the word of God. We ask this all in your name. Amen.